It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Joining us now, senior writer at Politico and co-author of The Playbook, Jake Sherman. He's an MSNBC political contributor. Jake, let's talk about the Democrats, the Senate races, and just how badly they performed and why.
Well, Democrats in Washington are waking up to an abject disaster, and there's no other way to explain this. Forget the White House for a second, if you can, but Republicans are going to net seats in the House of Representatives.
All right, there you go. Jake Sherman on MSNBC. Democrats are waking up to an abject disaster. Why does he say that? You know what's interesting? Last night and early this morning, like till about 3 o'clock, I was watching, and it was actually when we would flip to CNN, I think that we were more encouraged than when we were watching Fox. Fox was so untrustworthy last night, and I'll just give you one example. President Trump had won Florida. It was like at least an hour, maybe 2 hours before they would call it. And now we know that the guy that manages the desk, the campaign desk where they're doing the calling and assessing the votes, is a strong Hillary Clinton supporter. So somebody researched it last night. And so that might be the reason why Fox dragged their feet. And they were not trustworthy last night. And I think maybe, you know, there will be some hosts today like Fox and Friends in the morning, and also, you know, you'll hear Tucker Carlson's analysis tonight, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, but the people that are controlling the news feed for Fox, or the hosts during the day are reading scripts, they're being handed, you know, information from the Election Central, and so they're kind of obligated to do the bidding of the people that are in charge, who are they're not certainly conservatives, and they're not on the team of conservatives. But I want to talk to you about the race because I know you want to know. Look, right now the president depends on the outlet. This is part of the confusion. It looks like Joe Biden is at 213, or that President Trump is at 213, but it depends on, you know, who you watch. You're just not sure. Let me just say that Fox intentionally, it seemed to me, kept his electoral college votes very low last night and would not give him wins. Were very quick to call states for Joe Biden so that they kept Joe Biden looking as though he was a winner last night until, you know, 3 o'clock this morning. Joe Biden is either at 227 or 238, depending on who you look at. And I want to just give you an idea of this is complex, you know. President Trump carried all the states that you would have thought: Oklahoma, Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, Indiana, Texas came in for President Trump. It was a nail biter for a while. Iowa, Georgia has not been called yet. North Carolina hasn't. The president has taken Ohio, Arkansas. Joe Biden has taken Virginia, we think, and that's a whole story in itself. Vermont, Illinois, Maine, the District of Columbia, Massachusetts, Maryland, Minnesota, and there are others. That's not a complete list. Okay, but I just wanted to give you an idea in case you're wondering about your state. There are races that are too close to call in about 9 key states. So I'm going to give you just an idea of what this is like. Trump was in the lead in 6 of the 9 states that are still hanging: Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, and Alaska. Biden is in the lead in Nevada, at least at the time that this was written. Doesn't have a date on it or time on it. I think we were down to time last night. The president gave his speech last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's the kind of time we're talking. It was just a few hours ago. I remember it well. So Joe Biden carried, or he is in the lead in Nevada, Arizona, and Maine. In Georgia, President Trump held a 2.6-point lead with 93% of the vote counted. A burst pipe in Fulton County delayed counting by 2 hours. In Gwinnett County in Georgia, there's been a problem with ballot scanning. Listen, I have a huge stack of voter problems all over these swing states. It's funny, they don't seem to happen in California or New York that are solidly blue, but in these swing states, there seem to be a lot of problems. I don't understand that. In Pennsylvania, the president is ahead by 700,000 votes, but they won't call it for him. Yeah, so, and of course, Pennsylvania is the seat of a lot of chicanery, and yesterday there was a guy who was a poll watcher, and he came up to one of the precincts and was trying to get in. I thought you might find this interesting. This is an exchange between the poll worker, the guy who was there to watch, and the poll workers who would not let him in. This is clip six.
You're not letting me in? Well, no. What? No. That's why I tell you, call the police. Are, do it. If you leave them, call
the
cops.
City guy,
call that number. Tell him to call somebody. I have a citywide watcher
certificate.
And
it's not for
this location. No, it's not for it. It is not. This is the city of Philadelphia. This is the city of Philadelphia. This is the city of Philadelphia. You wanted to talk. You wanted to talk outside. Let's talk. I have a watcher certificate. I asked you to read the line. The line said it's good in every ward and division in the city.
That's Philadelphia. And I heard early in the evening, like this came in early, early was 11:40, 20 minutes till 12. We heard that in Michigan, there were no GOP poll observers in some of the most problematic precincts. And so just none. And that's the GOP. That is on the GOP in Michigan for not taking care of that. Keith Ellison, who was the attorney general in Minnesota, it sent this out last night. If you voted, great. Can you please call a friend? Spend a little time getting friends, fams, and folks out to the polls. We don't have all of the votes we need quite yet. So help a friend, even a brand new vote right now would be awesome. The attorney general, the one that's supposed to make the decision on how the votes go, that's Minnesota, and Joe Biden has now won Minnesota. Now, who knows? I don't know what the details are on the vote there. Maybe we'll get into that. Ohio's Franklin County had to use a backup system because there were technical problems. So they had long lines. Some of the machines broke down. They started issuing paper ballots. So that's happening in Ohio, or happened in Ohio. Georgia says that all polling stations are up and running after an election glitch because there was some sort of a pipe broke. That's what they said. And computers at all polling stations across Spalding County are down. The problem is being worked on and hopefully will be resolved quickly, said the Spalding County Sheriff's Office. Spalding County in western Georgia has a population of about 67,000. It went for Donald Trump in 2016. So you can see you're suspicious, aren't you? I am suspicious of all of these things. So Scranton, Pennsylvania, election workers are claiming voter machines are down. Workers say voters can fill out a ballot and they will scan it later when the machines are back up. Yeah, right. And then Pennsylvania. Now, this is interesting because last night the president said, this morning about 3 o'clock, that he feels that they have been, the vote has been taken from him, and he said it. We should probably listen to a little bit of that. Adam, why don't we play clip two and let people just get an idea of what the president said when he came out at 3 o'clock. Joe Biden had just come out, and I'll get to that in just a second, but this is President Trump talking about how he felt about the results. Let's listen.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Thank you. This is without question the latest news conference I've ever had. Thank you. I appreciate it very much, and I want to thank the American people for their tremendous support. Millions and millions of people voted for us tonight, and a very sad group of people is trying to disenfranchise that group of people, and we won't stand for it. We will not stand for it. I want to thank the First Lady, my entire family, and Vice President Pence, Mrs. Pence, for being with us all through this. And we were getting ready for a big celebration. We were winning everything, and all of a sudden it was just called off. The results tonight have been phenomenal, and we are getting ready. I mean, literally, we were just all set to get outside and just celebrate something that was so beautiful, so good, such a vote, such a success. The citizens of this country have come out in record numbers. This is a record. There's never been anything like it. To support our incredible movement, we won states that we weren't expected to win. Florida, we didn't win it. We won it by a lot. And we won the great state of Ohio. We won Texas. We won Texas. We won Texas by 700,000 votes, and they don't even include it in the tabulations. It's also clear that we have won Georgia. We're up by 2.5% or 117,000 votes with only 7% left. They're never going to catch us. They can't catch us. Likewise, we've clearly won North Carolina.
All right, I'm actually going to interrupt him because he goes through and he talks through, and he's right. He's absolutely right. And Fox, for one, would not give him credit, would not put these on. They would not call Florida for him, would not call Texas for him. And so it looked like Joe Biden was leading all evening. And then he says in part of his speech, he said, we're going to go to the Supreme Court and just get this thing sorted out. And so people are saying, what is he talking about? Well, I know what he's talking about. Pennsylvania has been sort of the eye of the storm. That's where he's ahead 700,000 votes. But last night, Pennsylvania just stopped counting the votes. They just stopped. Virginia did the same thing. In one precinct, I believe this was in Virginia. They were taking like ballot boxes home. The workers were taking the ballots home to their homes because, you know, they were going to count them tomorrow. You can't do that. You can't take ballots to your home to count. But they were doing that. And so lots of voting places just shut down last night, decided they weren't going to finish the counting. In Pennsylvania in particular, where we do feel that this may boil down to Pennsylvania, it looks as though the Supreme Court decision last week, the 4-4 decision, Amy Coney Barrett wasn't on the court at that point, they decided to let Pennsylvania let votes be counted, come in 3 days after the election and be counted. Then that signatures didn't have to match, all kinds of things that just absolutely are stunning. And so there is a case pending now that may reverse some of that. And I think that's what he's talking about. So some counties are setting aside ballots that have been received after 8 o'clock last night on Election Day and keeping them separate. So I don't know what's going to happen. We told you the left wants chaos in voting. They want chaos. That's their stock and trade. They want to overwhelm the system and then take over, and that's what they're trying to do, and who knows, they might prevail. I want to go back to why the Democrats are kind of low about what's been happening. They lost, they did not take the Senate last night. Cory Gardner lost his seat in Colorado. Martha McSally, it looks like, although she's challenging this, lost in Arizona. Lindsey Graham, even though they spent millions of dollars trying to beat him, won by 12 points. Mitch McConnell won. Steve Daines in Montana won. Joni Ernst won. It looks like John James in Michigan has won. There's a doctor whose name does not come to my mind, but he won a Senate seat in one of the western states. So they picked up seats in the House. The Republicans picked up seats in the House. Bob Good won last night. Alex Skarlatos, our little guy friend who was the hero on the train, lost out in Oregon. But the Republicans picked up, it looks like, as many as 10 seats. And so nobody was expecting that, and that was pretty shocking. So the Republicans are going to keep the House, and they have gained momentum in the House, and they've got some really good people coming in. So that's good news to all of us. Okay, well then, stay tuned because we're going to talk in just a second. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down in prayer for our nation's leaders.
Today, we pray for the United States Senate. Our Senate and its powers were established by Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution. Each senator represents the interests of his or her home state in the U.S. Congress. Philippians 2:3 reminds us of the qualities of a good senator. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide the members of the U.S. Senate as they make decisions for our country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Come pray with us and give thanks for our country's safe and free elections right now at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Walmart is removing guns and ammo off the sales floor in some of its stores, the move in response to the violent, peaceful protest in Philadelphia. A Walmart spokesperson says customers will still be able to buy guns and ammo, but they'll have to ask first. Walmart says it's a prudent move, especially since one of their stores was pillaged and plundered by looters in the city of Brotherly Love. There are also grave concerns that the violence in Philly could spread to other cities in advance of the election. A number of leftist organizations, including Black Lives Matter and Antifa, reportedly planning mass demonstrations. And as we saw in Philadelphia, when thousands of people take to the streets, it's nearly impossible to keep the peace, which is why you should prepare now for whatever is to come on Election Day. Be sure to download my free podcast, listen to my national radio show, live noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at toddstarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
First of all, we're going to know the winner of this election by 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
By what
and
time?
What people are doing is just unnecessarily scaring people and making them unnecessarily nervous. That event he had, David Clough is 100% right. That event in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which is a state, if he loses, I don't have to wait on Pennsylvania to lose North Carolina. He's going to lose. And that was like, that event was literally insane. That you're in eastern North Carolina in a state that you got to win, and you're talking about some post at Fox News. It's insane that anybody, any politician would use that as a closing argument. I am not the least bit concerned about the outcome tomorrow night, and I'm not the least bit concerned that we're going to have to wait weeks or months to find out what the result is. We're going to know, and we're going to know pretty early.
All right. The infamous James Carville making his prediction on Monday. We're going to know. We're going to know early. We're not going to have to wait. Sorry, James, you got another one wrong. We're going to have to wait. By the way, again, the president is leading in Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, but, you know, he's ahead in Pennsylvania by 700,000 votes. He has a 13.4 percentage point lead with 64% of the votes counted. At least that's in the article I'm reading that came out this morning from Epoch Times, sets their tally. There's no deadline extension in Arizona, and so Biden was leading 5 points with 80% of the votes counted, but we're going to talk about that at more. And in Nevada, they are accepting mail-in ballots until November the 10th. So Biden is ahead in that state by 2.7 votes. Michigan and Wisconsin, Trump was up by 4.1 points in Wisconsin with 91% of the vote counted. He's led in Michigan by more than 8 points with 72% of the vote counted. So you see how this is, who knows? I've asked Lichelle to join me because she's a good friend, because she's great on this kind of stuff, and because she has her finger on the pulse about with what's happening all across the country. She is an editor, a senior editor at American Greatness. Liz, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Sandy. How are you doing this morning? Or maybe it's still last night for you, like me.
Yeah. I got about 3 hours sleep, so I think I got three. But Liz, we have to talk about the West, because Nevada is your home state. Yes. So what's going on there? I'm not clear.
Well, one of the problems in the way Nevada votes this election is that the governor and legislature, controlled by Democrats, have sent ballots to every single person on the voter rolls. And they've never cleaned up their voter rolls. So it's just everyone on the voter rolls. So there are ballots blanketing the state. And so there is mail-in ballots. You could get that ballot. You could fill it out, follow the instructions, put it in the mail. Or you could vote early. That was an option. I did that. I flew back to vote last week at my own expense. But I voted in person to make sure that my ballot was accepted. Or you could come on the day of the election. And so we know that Nevada knows what the day of election votes are. And they know what votes, I think they're up to almost everything mail-in that they have to date. So they know all of that. But they have many days to continue to count ballots that come in. And with all those ballots floating around the state, just sitting in mailboxes, maybe sitting in entryways to apartment buildings, who knows? You know, they can make sure they get as many as they need to give Biden the advantage. That's the way Nevada does it.
Yeah, so you're not real optimistic about Nevada then.
Well, I'm really not. You know, look, that's Harry Reid's state. They have quite a machine in place for this. There was a lot of issues in the 2016 election with Nevada. The Trump campaign also sued for shenanigans at the polls. So I have to say, I'm not optimistic, because I think in any situation that we have in an election, whenever the Democrats are in charge of counting the votes, we are at a problem. I don't even think that there's a margin that we can overcome that will keep us safe. So I'm concerned, you know, this morning or tonight. I'm kind of concerned because there's a lot of odd rules or laws or regulations in place.
And so many things happening, you know, like people, like poll workers taking ballots home last night, taking them home.
Yeah.
I got to take some ballots home. You know, I'm tired and I'll get back to it tomorrow. I mean, no, you're what voting procedure allows people to take ballots home, Liz? I that's just got to be illegal.
No, it's crazy.
Almost every state.
The most important thing for our country is that we have a secure election system that we all have faith in. And even if our candidate loses, we know, well, it was fair. You know, we have to be able to trust in the integrity of the system. But the Democrats, I think, don't care about that at all, because there's all these fast and loose rules or practices that give people all sorts of reasons to doubt the results. And that's actually not good for the country. And so whenever I hear, oh, they're going to keep counting, oh, the ballot doesn't need to be postmarked, oh, it doesn't need a security envelope around it, you know, there's no signature verification, there's no voter ID. I'm wondering, you know, what are your priorities? Because it doesn't sound like a safe and fair election. Are your priorities?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we have to talk about Arizona because, as you know, last night I'm guessing that you were as maddened by Fox's coverage of the election last night as I was.
Well, so, Sandy, my watching Fox News coverage for the election lasted about 3 minutes before I immediately changed station. But I do know what was going on because I was on Twitter, and I was shocked that they were not calling Florida, but immediately calling Virginia and Arizona for Biden.
Exactly.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and we also found out, and I've already said this on the air before you joined me, that the gentleman who was in charge of calling the states, I forgot, they call it their election desk, I think, it turns out he's a Democratic.
He's a Democrat operative.
Hillary, a Democratic operative. And so, and he held Florida back at least an hour, and maybe 2 hours, just would not call it.
The amount of data that comes in from the precincts and the states is pretty solid. And you, even though you may not have every vote counted, you can tell whether something is or is not mathematically possible. And there was no way that Biden could possibly have won Florida for as long as they refused to call it. And the reason they did that, like they did with all this garbage polling that we saw that has been, we've been bombarded with for months, is to depress the vote. And and to cut into the momentum of the campaign.
Yeah, so that brings us to Arizona, because then they jumped out and declared Arizona when there were, I think, a million votes still to be counted. There may still be a million votes to be counted. Talk about Arizona for a second, Liz, because explain to us what's going on there.
Well, you know, they have a similar system. I know that the governor, Governor Ducey, came out and said, whoa, hold on. We have all these ballots out, and they're from all over the state, because, again, this is the problem with mail-in ballots. There's a difference between a universal mail-in or opening up mail ballots to everyone and having an actual absentee ballot, which requires a proactive gesture on the voter's part. It requires an address, a legitimate address, and there's more integrity there.
Yeah. But, and a verification that you're the actual person. Yeah,
that's right. But this idea that there's just these ballots floating around after the same day election happens, it's always suspicious. And I think that the media, including Fox News, does not want Trump to win. And I think that they were knowingly doing things that would depress turnout.
Yeah, on the West Coast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But
calling Arizona for Biden, which, you know, that was always a close state. So there's no reason to call it prematurely and not just wait and see.
Like they were waiting on Florida, happy to wait on Florida for when
exactly.
We knew Florida was won for President Trump. All right. But in Arizona, Liz, it's a little different. Correct me if I'm wrong. They are very practiced at doing mail-in balloting. I think a huge amount of their voters actually do mail their ballots in. They have, a pretty decent process on that. So the million ballots that are out are not necessarily those early voting Democrats as they are in other states where early voting mail-in balloting is different. In Nevada, where y'all come and everybody gets a ballot. So they have a more careful system. So do you know anything about what we know about where that stands? Did Martha McSally really lose? I heard that she was going to challenge that. So I really don't know the state of play there, and I don't know if you do either.
I don't know exactly the state of play, but I know that they have enough ballots out that and from places. Again, we know what the way that these counties and then the precincts within them lean. So we know if some of them are outstanding, if they tend to go right or left. So there's enough ballots outstanding from places that would give someone who is cautious, you know, hesitancy before they would go full speed ahead. And I did see that Martha McSally is challenging it. And I think twice Governor Ducey came out, even a couple hours ago, well, and it was still like late night for them, maybe 3 or 4 hours ago, Governor Ducey came out and said, wait a minute, we still have a lot of ballots. So I don't think they've definitively called it for Arizona, but the damage is already done. You know, the damage is already done because they did call it last night when it mattered.
But you know, listen, here's the thing that I find. There was a time when a network or the AP or whoever was calling these races where you actually trusted them, and it was like a gold standard. Well, the AP has just called it for whatever. And last night I found that I could not trust. You couldn't trust anybody. Who can you trust to call? And who can we trust? Who's the arbiter? Who's the gold standard on calling these races? Is there a gold standard left?
I don't think there is. I mean, we have just a tremendous crisis of trust in this country on so many fronts, because apparently ever since Trump got elected, anything goes. Not to say that we weren't victim of media bias and sleight of hand before Trump, but apparently Trump is so out of the ordinary that they're no longer concealing. They're fast and loose. And so I agree with you. I too didn't know what to believe. What I did do is, and what I would tell your listeners to do in this situation in the future, is you just have to look at the numbers. You know, you want to look at how many precincts are reporting and then what those results are. And so you can get a sense that, oh, there's hardly any coming in. Oh, there's a lot in, so it's more reliable. Some of the websites, even AP, you don't have to listen to their, we've officially called it, but sometimes you can drill down to the precinct level and see what counties, you know, if you know that there's a county with a large metropolitan city in it, you know, well, that's probably going to lean left. And if those votes haven't been counted, you know, the vote might move, you know, in favor of the Democrat. So there are things you have to do, but there's no sort of easy button anymore where you just say, oh, so-and-so told me, I trust it. Because you really, we treat these political partisans as if they're engaging in a good faith exchange of information. They're not. They're political partisans. So, and that's unfortunate, because it's really difficult to run a society where you don't trust these alleged authorities.
Yeah, totally. Now, Liz, this is curious to me, because I played before you joined me. Jake Sherman from Politico was on MSNBC, and he basically said that Democrats in Washington are waking up to an abject disaster. Now, it's interesting to me that they feel that way, and I already talked about the fact that the Republicans are keeping the Senate. They only lost a couple of seats, and that they actually picked up seats in the House.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but the you would think that they would be sort of elated that Joe Biden has not been beaten, and that he might actually prevail. Can you kind of explain why it's an abject disaster from their perspective?
Well, I think it's an abject disaster because they were selling Biden was going to wipe everybody out. This is what they promoted. These outlets like Axios or Politico and AP, Washington Post, the outlets that do regular polling, were promising just a brutal wipeout, a repudiation, right, of the president. And they wake up, and what do they find? No, that is exactly not what happened. And not only did they not get the Senate back, which they promised, they actually lost seats in the House.
Yeah.
And those were races no one invested anything in. They were written off. Nobody tried to get the House back. Nobody was actively trying to get the margin, the spread closer together. And yet, that's exactly what happened. And now, this race is a squeaker. But we were not promised. We were promised a tsunami. We were promised a wholesale repudiation. So, I think as far as these people care about their credibility, yeah, I think it is a disaster for them, because it's not clean cut either.
Yeah. No. So. No, it isn't. Hey, Liz, can you stay with me for another segment?
I sure can.
Yeah, because you're a pollster, a seasoned pollster. You're excellent at it. And there were a lot of interesting things that happened last night in terms of how the votes break down. Plus, it would be interesting to maybe talk about some of these states that are not settled and maybe go into that a little bit more, as much as we can. There's
okay.
So much information. I have to confess right now, it's overwhelming, and I think it's very difficult for one person to take all this in. And report it clearly. You really do need a team, but you have to have a team that you can actually trust. So
right.
Liz is on my team this morning, and I trust her. And so when we come back, we'll kind of look at some of these races that are outstanding and kind of speculate about what we think may be happening in the next coming weeks and days. My guest is Liz Schell from American Greatness, and this is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Oh, Who do you want teaching your children about sex, and what do you want them to say? The political party we vote for will determine what our children are taught. One Party Platform supports inclusive sex education with a full range of family planning services. The other party supports abstinence until marriage as the responsible standard of behavior. Our vote will determine what they're taught about sex and when. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
A prayer. Lord God, thank you for using American Family Radio to share your truth and love in this increasingly tumultuous time. Please don't let our love grow cold as we see wickedness increasing. Help us stand firm for you even to the end. Help us to preach the gospel of your kingdom to the whole world as a testimony. Help us to make the most of this platform you have given us to promote your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
What is the source of America's greatness? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Alexis de Tocqueville, a 19th century French political thinker and philosopher, had this exact same question. On the heels of the French Revolution, he came to America in 1831 to investigate America's ascendancy. In doing so, he found that America's greatness did not lie in her economic system. It did not lie in her banking system, nor did it lie in her educational system. He found America's pulpits aflamed with righteousness was the source of America's greatness. He opined that America is great because she is good. But when America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Let us pray for a restoration of the flame of righteousness in our pulpits.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. As we move on from this election, America is very divided as a nation. God told Israel, when their whole future was before them, that they were to fear the Lord their God, walk in all his ways, serve him with all their heart and soul, and keep his commandments and statutes. If they did, their land would never lack rain in its season, and they would live long in the land. If they did not, they would perish quickly off the land that the Lord was giving them. No nation is invincible. No nation is guaranteed tomorrow. Every national election gives us the opportunity as a people to secure our future by resetting our hearts and souls on the true and living God. While others in our land may not, you and I can show the way by recentering our lives on God this very day. Let's do it for ourselves and for the country that we love.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump has declared that he won yesterday's hotly contested election. He has also announced that widespread fraud has been employed to deny him victory. While both points remain to be validated, we already know that, to paraphrase Winston Churchill, never have so many done so much to defeat one man. If Donald Trump does in fact prevail, he will have overcome the following: systematic efforts by Democratic partisans to rig the vote, the virtually universal complicity of the so-called mainstream media, the active manipulation of the big social media platforms, and the direct involvement of the Chinese Communist Party and its allies, foreign and domestic, all aimed at taking down this president. These attempts to steal the election will next be compounded by revolutionary upheavals engineered by the Black Lives Matter organization, Antifa, the Muslim Brotherhood, and others. God help us. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You know what? It just occurred to me why... One other reason why the Democrats think that it's such a disaster this morning, because I just realized Nancy Pelosi was expecting to gain a lot more seats in the House. And the way the system is set up, if there is a deadlock, if there's no Electoral College victory, neither of the candidates gets to 270, which could happen, it could easily happen, then it'll go to the House to decide the race, and it's not the way you think. The way it works is that every single state has a congressional delegation, and they're made up of Republicans and Democrats. So whichever delegate, let's say Florida's delegation has, I don't know, however many, let's say they have 100, I'll just choose that because it's easy. And if they have like 75 Republicans and 25 Democrats, that means that Florida would get one vote for the presidency out of that delegation. The delegation can only vote and provide one vote for the presidency. So, in other words, in Florida, under this speculative wrong number situation, 75 Republicans would prevail, and there would be one vote from Florida that would go to Donald Trump. And so you can extrapolate that. And the additional thing is that that would be based on the new configuration of the House. And that's the part that just hit me. We have just seen a lot of really fine people added to the House. I think people that nobody was expecting to win won, and they're really strong conservatives. And that might mean, because the Democrats have been plotting, they've been going through the map and going to these delegations and figuring out which delegation only leads by, you know, one or two Republican votes, and they poured millions of dollars into defeating those delegations, laying the groundwork for the House being able to have make this decision and to have it go to Biden, because they've gotten down into the weeds with their planning. And so that's another reason why they are so upset. My guest is Liz Scheldt, who is a political pollster. Liz is just the best, and she's also with American Greatness, a senior editor. Liz, I had you thought of that, because I had not.
You know, I didn't. I hadn't thought that far either, because I was so shocked by this addition, these new members of the House. I mean, Donald Trump has long coattails, and I think a lot of people doubted that. So nobody really put a lot of effort into, you know, building up our side of the House. And so, yeah, I mean, I hadn't even gotten that far. I know the Democrats have wargamed out every possible scenario
exactly.
on how to pervert it. Because, you know, I think for Republicans and people on the right, we just think, well, you go to the polls and you vote, and then there's a winner. And we're not thinking of how to pervert the system to our advantage.
Exactly.
We like law and order, right? We're the law, kind of the law and order party, like rules and laws, and we know what they are, and we keep order. And yeah, so I hadn't really thought that far in advance, especially with these new House members. But, you know, that is on the table. That is on the table for them.
We might have messed up their mojo. So, all right. So now this is interesting to me, Liz, because as you well know, the Democrats have been running on COVID. They're hoping, banking that people would be so upset about their claim that President Trump was a disaster in handling COVID. And that's why this interaction last night with Jake Tapper and Dana Bash is amazing, and I want you to hear it. This is clip 8. Let's listen. Clip 8.
48% of the country, Dana, mm-hmm. saying that the handling of the pandemic is going well. That's a very high number, considering that empirically, it is not going well. I mean, there is no health official who says it's going well at all.
And it is a different number than what we've been seeing in the polls up until now. But this is a poll. The exit poll is of those who have voted. And, you know, if I am in the Trump campaign, I am looking at that and saying, well, that's better than we thought it would be.
Yeah.
Because
that's
despite
this,
right.
Is.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right.
That is
where
it's a little bit higher.
It's better. It's better than
yeah. And
rate.
Because look, as bullish as the president and his aides have been in public about the coronavirus, that's not how they feel in private. They understand that this is a referendum on the president, and in large part because of the coronavirus. So in that sense, maybe it is surprising. And I'm guessing if I'm going to contact people in the Trump campaign, they're probably going to say the same thing.
So they're looking at the numbers, and 48% of the people that voted said they think that the president handled the coronavirus just fine. And they are hearing the numbers, and yet they counter with, no, but that can't be true, because it's just not true empirically. We know he didn't handle it well. It's just amazing. Liz, your thoughts about that?
Well, I really liked how I think it was Dana Bash said, oh, well, you know that privately the Trump campaign is very, you know, worried about this. Well, how would she know? Like, who in the Trump campaign is confiding in a CNN host? You know, it's really funny how they justify their presumptions. The fact is, this yesterday's election really shows just how out of touch and divorced
yes.
from the American public these media elites are. They have absolutely no idea what people care about. They have no idea what people's real opinions are on issues of the day. So to say that the people who answered the questions were wrong, but the CNN talking heads, they know what's really the right opinion. Can you imagine the nerve of that? It's so condescending. Yeah.
Let us sort you out, because that can't possibly be true. Everybody knows, President, this reminds me of the old Larry David thing. Everybody knows, you know, that President Trump was a failure, because we told you so.
Well,
how dare you vote?
This is what happens when you are in a bubble, and you are only surrounded by people who think just like you. I know, for me, I have family and friends. They're not conservatives. They're not Republicans. I hear what they say. I know what they're thinking. I read, you know, the Washington Post and CNN, and I read an array of news and information. So I do know what the Democrats are thinking. I know what the information that's coming across their transom is. But go ask a Democrat what kind of information me as a conservative sees. They have no idea. They have
no
idea.
It's true. No, you know, in that CBS 60 Minutes interview where President Trump walked out, it was like Sunday before last, I believe it was. I can't even think of the name of the female reporter who's like 100 years old. I don't remember.
Oh, Leslie Stahl.
Anyway, Leslie Stahl. I was convinced, Liz, that Leslie Stahl, her response, she mocked President Trump constantly. And you can see it in the clip that he released before 60 Minutes ran. But the thing that I noticed was that I thought Leslie Stahl honestly, genuinely had no idea what President Trump was saying. She was incredulous, and I felt like she's just ignorant. She has no idea. All she knows is what the New York Times says and what her buddies, where she has tea or coffee or goes to the ladies' lunch, what they're saying. I think she was completely ignorant about Joe Biden's complicity in China and his son and all of that.
About the Trump campaign getting spied on. I mean, it's like she had heard that for the first time.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Like, so for 3 years, that isn't even an opinion to debate. That's literally a fact.
Yeah, exactly. and the way she responded was, oh no, that's not true. I mean, honestly, I think she believed what she was saying. It was stunning to me. Liz, a couple of things that I want to get to, because I thought this was really interesting. And because you're from Nevada, I want to ask you about, you know, they announced, or one of the news stories last night was that the betting odds had completely flipped. Whereas going into the race, all the money was on Joe Biden winning. And somewhere during the night, it completely flipped to the opposite. What do you know about that? What can you say? How significant is that?
Oh, I think it's very significant, because those are actual people and they have something at stake, like money, right? So if I say I'm going to bet on the election and I want to win money, I have to be right. But if I'm a talking head and I'm paid $7 million a year, no matter what I say, who cares, right? You know, I can say anything I want that works to my political advantage. So I do think that the markets and the betting markets are far more accurate than the Wall Street Journal poll or the Washington Post poll. And that's something to notice, because, again, those are people, and the people are making informed guesses with consequences, which is that they don't want to lose money. They want to win money, so they want to be right. There's an incentive to be right.
Yeah. The other thing to measure on that to me last night was that the Chinese yen, their currency, their dollar equivalent to our dollar, not in value, but that's their currency, plunged last night. And it was just very interesting to me. We could extrapolate on that. Obviously, Joe Biden is friendly to the Chinese. We know that because it's just proven history that he's looked the other way while they've stolen our technology, and he certainly looked the other way while his son was making millions and maybe perhaps billions from China. And so the yen really dropped last night. Anything further about that?
I don't really know. I think that, you know, everybody's watching. There's so many world events and features and situations that depend on the stability and the direction of the United States that I'm not surprised that we saw that kind of currency fluctuation. But just think, the difference between Joe Biden, a Joe Biden presidency, and a Trump presidency is like night and day. This isn't just little degrees of difference. I mean, these are massive. We're talking about reorienting the Middle East, undoing what Trump has done, changing our relationship with China, all of the tariffs that Trump has done to even our trade relationships. There's just so many things that are dependent on who wins this election, you know, in the world. I'm not surprised, but I can't say that I know anything specific about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, in the few minutes that we have, because I know people are just dangling like we're dangling. We don't know what the outcome's going to be here. But let's talk about what we might know, Liz, about some of these states. There are 9 key states where things are still dangling. In Pennsylvania, as I think I said, this before you joined me, the president he's up 700,000 votes. He has a 13.4-point lead with 64% of the votes counted. But we know Pennsylvania is so treacherous. What can you say about that?
Well, they know how many votes they need to find to overcome that lead. And they still have ballots to count. And I believe they had a situation where a court expanded on the voting regulations that were decided upon by the legislature. The legislature had, I can't remember, I think it was a 3-day extension. And then the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, made it even longer. So there's a legal issue whether the court even has the authority to do that and not the state legislature. I mean, the people who make laws in the state are the legislatures, and they need to be elected so that you can hold them accountable by voting them out. So I think that that's one point of contention. But they still have they still have votes to count. And,
yep.
And that is always a concern.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I read this morning, the president alluded to this last night, but it wasn't clear. I think what he was talking about when he said we're going to go back to the court. The Supreme Court, when they decided the situation in Pennsylvania week before last at a 4-4 decision, was to let Pennsylvania extend the deadline, stay with the ruling of the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, and also that signatures didn't have to match. My understanding, though, is, Liz, that first, I can't explain the nuances, but that the Supreme Court did not finally decide. I think they said there's no way we can do this thoroughly before the election. We're going to revisit it after the election. And so it looks as though these votes coming in late in Pennsylvania are still in question about whether they might actually be counted. So
right.
I believe they're being quarantined.
I think that they're setting them aside.
Okay.
I believe that was the order. Now, I don't know if they're really being set aside, but they're supposed to be set aside. And also, why would you not want to verify a signature on a ballot? You know,
really?
Unless
really?
You did not care about the integrity of your election.
That's basic contract law. Anytime we sign a contract or an agreement, we always have to match our signatures. When you get money out of the bank, they verify your signature.
Well, that's why you even sign at all, right? I mean, why do we even have signed contracts? When I went to vote in Nevada in person, my signature was verified before they let me go to the computer and vote. And I had to do it twice because the first time it didn't match. Just because I don't usually sign my whole first name, but that's how I had signed what was on file. So why would you not want to do that unless you don't want to make sure that only, you know, voters who have met the requirements of being able to vote, being a citizen, not being a felon, where that's applicable and so on, why would you not want that to be a secure process unless you have bad intentions?
Totally. Let me just say in closing here, the president, now there are 6 states still pending that he's leading in: Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. But, you know, and some of those are going to be getting their tallies in probably in the next day or so. And then we've got Pennsylvania and others that North Carolina, too, has like 9 days where they let ballots come in. And so it's chaos. And that's what the left just loves, don't they, Liz Schell?
Thank you so much, Sandy.
Thanks for joining me, Liz. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.